Hello from the Fat Expats. We hope you like our new podcast. We're sorry for how bad we must sound, but drink some gin and you'll feel much better again. Hello from the Fat Expats.
Now, you have to tell the story you just told me.
Okay. So, I'm obsessed with Adele, always have been, but I'm even more obsessed with Hello, her new song, and we were playing
just butchered.
Yes. Sorry, Adele. And I was playing that so loudly in the car last night driving home, singing at the top of my lungs as if I was live on stage and it finished. And Matt turned to me and he said, "How do you think that sounded in your head?" I said, "You know what? I think I was a bit spot on. Like, I think I hit the notes." "No, darling, you didn't."
Oh, dear. Now, says you were at the airport last night because...
Yes, I dropped my mum off at the airport last night, yesterday afternoon.
Mm. How long was she here for?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she always comes over just before Christmas. And see, my niece, she's a December baby, so...
I saw that.
Yeah, so it's really hard for her because she doesn't want to miss her birthday, but then she wants to be here as close to Christmas. So yeah. This year she actually missed Frankie's birthday. Mm. Frankie was 2 on the 4th, so, but she's only 2, she's not going to know.
God, that kid's cute.
Oh, she is so cute.
She's so cute.
So cute.
It's criminal.
But... Attitude on her.
Oh, right.
Ooh, attitude. Yeah, but gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. So it's very timely because we decided that this week for mm-hmm. our episode, what are we calling this week's episode?
What's it like for the parents, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've put in the show notes, but maybe we can come up with something a little bit more interesting.
Because when your mum was here, I interviewed her because mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to her about what it's like to be the mum of an expat.
Yeah.
And what that looks like for her. And it occurred to me when I was interviewing her, or just before, I think I was saying to you and her, oh, wouldn't it be interesting to see someone whose parents aren't cool with them being expats, but also the person that just continually said, "I think you should come home."
Yeah, when are you coming home?
When are you coming home?
Putting the guilt on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I put the question out there, and there were a lot of people, and there were a lot of people that were surprised it wasn't happening to more people And because, I mean, my mum never does the come home.
Neither do my parents, neither do Matt's parents.
No.
His brother and sister-in-law do a little bit, but not our parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think it must be, it adds... it's a problem. It makes a real divide.
Absolutely, because you already feel guilty enough as it is. Mm-hmm. I already feel... I mean, yesterday we were walking back. I was very put together when I said goodbye to my mum at the airport. But then as we're walking back to the car, I lost it a little bit. And I was saying to Matt, "Oh, we should move back home. Oh, you know, mum and dad are getting on. They should be seeing Sadie more. I should be spending more time with Frankie." And then Matt said to me, "You do this every single year. You have a couple of days where you think we've made the worst decision in the world and you want to go running home to mummy and daddy."
Yeah.
And then in a couple of days, something happens and it's all exciting and you're back on your expat trail. And he's right. I need a couple of down days. Yeah. You know how you have the expat re-entry blues and I don't?
Yeah, yeah.
I have the "my mummy's just left me."
I hate how empty the house feels after you have guests.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're there and it's all so exciting and you're taking them everywhere and you get that whole newfound tourist thing with your city that you're in again.
Yes, yeah.
And you start remembering what you love. And, of course, we all do the oversell of where we are. See, it's so fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so fantastic here. You should come live here.
Yeah.
You should get a job
here. This was Sadie's thing. So Sadie has this whole thing, "I want to move back to Australia." And her idea of Australia is not real life.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been explaining to her the reason why we're here and why we're not in Australia, and she's now cool with that. She's like, "Oh, girl, yeah, I'm happy to be an expat brat." But she then said to Pippa yesterday, "I think you and Poppy should move here. Daddy could sponsor you. Daddy, you could be on Daddy's sponsorship and you could just live here." And then we started thinking, oh, yeah, Mum and Dad could almost chase the winter.
Yes.
You know, they could come here during the Australian summer, then they could go back home, so...
That's what my grandparents did, but they didn't go quite as far. They went to, you know, Victor Harbour and Coffs Harbour and stayed in the caravan.
So now that's what we're kind of like, when Dad finally retires...
There were people that said that, Sez. When on the Four Kids 20 Suitcases page, there was a bunch of people that said, oh, well, my parents just came to us and stayed with us for, someone said a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, same thing. Rented an apartment in Abu Dhabi, someone said.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to start pushing on my mum and dad now.
That they come for
when
months.
He finally gives up his business, that they come. Because the first time they came to Abu Dhabi, they came for a month.
Yeah.
And then slowly, you know, Dad's business. He's got to get back to work and stuff. So I think maybe once he retires, that would be a nice thing for them to do.
I think that's really good advice, because I think one of the things that happens with parents, because when I look back at the change over my parents over the last 15 years as well, like when we first took off, Greg's parents had only just retired and my mother was still working full-time, and she's worked full-time right up until last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of, you know, come for 3 months.
You can't come for months.
Wasn't a possibility. Mm-hmm. And with Greg's parents, we did do some long sort of holidays with them. But what happens to anyone who's out there whose parents are maybe 60, what happens when your parents get to sort of 70, their health changes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, you know, that they're incredibly sick, but they're just not as mobile.
They're slower.
And, they are slower. And so for me now, I don't think my parents could come for a few months. Number one, my dad's social life is way too busy. He couldn't cope. Couldn't cope without, you know, his mates and bowls. And, you know, I really could not cope. But my mum, it's a health thing. She's had a hip operation.
Yeah.
You know, the whole
flight
getting here.
So she's not as mobile.
Here, mobile. And they'd kind of maybe be a bit more stuck because they're reliant on you to get them sort of places.
And not to mention, here in the Middle East, it's very, like mum said, oh, I'd love to stay longer, but I'm not going to drive here.
Yes.
Now, she's not scared of driving on the other side of the road. She's scared of the other drivers because the driving here is crazy.
Yeah.
And I would never feel comfortable putting mum or dad behind a wheel here and saying, here's my car, off you go. But on the other hand, getting a private driver here is relatively inexpensive, so you know that could then work. But you've got to think about things. They can't just be trailing behind you as you go about your day. If they're going to come for a long time, they still need to be independent, I think.
Yeah. Now, should we have a listen to your mum?
Okay.
So I sort of started off by asking her what it was like to be the mother of an expat.
A fat expat.
You're here in Qatar visiting Sarah for holidays. Is this your first trip here?
No. I've been to Qatar, probably 3 or 4 times. And prior to that, I've been to Abu Dhabi a number of times when Sarah lived there. So, no, I've been coming over, quite a few times.
So are you a bit of a seasoned traveller? Were you a traveller before Sarah was an expat? Has it always been one of your things?
No, I'm not a seasoned traveller. I'd love to say yes, I am. I have travelled a little bit, but no, I didn't do a lot of travelling. But we've done a few bits and pieces here and there over the years, and we've been to the States a few times. And we have done some travel.
Yeah. So, Pip, tell me a bit about you, background for pre-Sarah.
I was born and bred in a little country town in New South Wales in the New England area called Walker.
Oh.
A very small sheep and cattle area. And that's where I grew up. And then I had an interesting experience. I won a scholarship and went to school in the States for a year.
Wow.
But then I eventually moved to Sydney, and that's where I met my husband, and we'd lived in Sydney now forever, and then about 4.5 years ago we moved to the Southern Highlands.
Yeah.
So Sarah and her sister and family, they were all brought up in Sydney.
So what did you think when Sarah first came to you and said, we're thinking we're going to move overseas?
Surprised, but... Surprised in the sense that they had a brand new baby, and that was my only worry.
Uh-huh.
She was a new mother, and I was conscious of that. I'd spent a lot of time with her. They were living in Melbourne, and so I'd been with her a lot of the time when she was having the baby. So I was concerned about her taking a tiny baby and, you know, knowing what you have to do with babies. But she was a very competent mother from day one, and once we understood where they were going, we were fine. We were fine with it. I mean, it was sad. It's always sad when your children go away. But, you know, in this day and age, you can keep in touch very well, and we do keep in touch very, very well.
Now, you said it's always sad when your kids go away, because I think a lot of expats, when they take off their parents, like, you know, no, go, do it, we're fine, because they don't. No one wants to be the parent that says, I'm going to hold you back. So how much of it is really being cool with it or telling yourself you are really cool with it?
Well, I guess we were a lot cooler with it because Sarah had travelled. Sarah had done two big overseas stints prior to being married, so we were well aware that she could travel by herself overseas, so we weren't particularly worried about that. She wasn't, you know, setting off on this big adventure brand new. She had been overseas, certainly not to the Middle East, which was a big concern because that is a totally different thing to someone going to America or the United Kingdom or Europe. So going to the Middle East, sitting back in Australia, you think, oh my goodness gracious, but once you come here and you see that everything is fine and she leads a perfectly normal life, then there's no drama. But until we did come the first time, I must admit, we were on edge, and her father particularly doesn't show it, but he's always a little on edge.
Do you think your feelings about her being away would change if either you or your husband got sick?
We've often thought about this, and there are times my husband has been sick when Sarah has been away, and I often think you're better off not telling them. But then a couple of years ago, Sarah said, I would rather know if there is something wrong. And now I realise, yes, that is silly. She does need to know if there is something wrong. But I wouldn't expect them to come running home until the time they felt that we felt they should or whatever. No, I don't have that. I have a very, very close connection with my children, but I don't expect them to come running at the drop of a hat. But on the other hand, if they want to see us, if one of us was really sick, well, of course, they'd want to see us. So we'd pull out all stops for that. But at the moment, we haven't had to face it terribly much, so we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Now, you have another daughter who lives very close to you, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has a child.
She does.
So how does that change things? Like, do you think there's any difference in your relationship with a daughter who lives down the road or a daughter that lives overseas?
No, there's not, because Camilla and Sarah are two totally and utterly different girls, beyond belief different girls, both of whom I love to distraction. They both have beautiful little ladies who are a major part of our lives. No, I don't discriminate or have it. I naturally will see more of Camilla's little girl because she's 10 minutes up the road and she's studying at the moment, so I am doing a lot of babysitting. So I do see Frankie a lot more, but that doesn't change the dynamic of Sadie. Sarah is absolutely wonderful in keeping us in touch with what Sadie's doing. If Sadie breathes a different way, we know within 10 minutes, which we love. And my husband just adores because he and Sadie are best little mates. But no, there's not any difference, I don't think, in my feelings at all.
Yeah.
And we're both, you know, love these two little girls, and as long as, and Sarah and Camilla and I have a three-way meet-up most afternoons.
Right.
Your time, morning time, our time, afternoon, where we message one another.
Yeah.
So that's as though we're, you know, chatting over the back fence.
Yes, oh, I love that. And tell me, expats quite often have people say very hurtful things to them about being away from their parents. You know, like they'll say, I could never do that to my mother. I could never do that to my family. How is it, as the mother of an expat, do you ever have people say things to you that you think, well, that was terrible?
Yes.
And what
does
that mean?
I always look at people when they say whatever nasty things. I try not to say nasty things in my life, but we do sometimes, we're all human. But no, people say to me, oh my goodness, how could you have someone over there? And I say, well, you know, you go and have a look and it's fine. And they're living a wonderful life and they're enjoying themselves and they're bringing up their little girl very well, and she's being really, really well educated, which is important. That's an important factor that my husband and I have both been interested in. And yes, I do worry when people say things like that, but that's their life. Once they've grown up, you'll always be a mother, you'll always be a parent, but once your children have grown up, they've got a life, and they're married. Sarah's married to Matt, and that's their family, and that's their life. They're 100% part of our lives, but they have their own life, and we have to let them live it.
She's so good.
She's
your
the
mom.
Best mom oh, ever. No.
She's so good.
She's
though.
Got such a good head on her shoulders. She's just so. Yeah. That's. I wish I was more like her. Actually,
she's a very happy person. Your mum.
Yes, too. She is. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Obviously, very happy with your dad.
We always joke. My dad is so in love with my mum. He's obsessed with her, right? And we joke that my mum is obsessed with his obsession with.
Explain that to me. What do you mean?
Well, like, mum has a very independent life. So, like, she belongs to a lot of charities, a lot of craft groups. Like, yeah. She's got her own thing going on. Dad has his golf and he has mum. Do you know what I mean? And we were actually joking the other day, like, he's sick of cooking his chops for dinner because he's waiting for mum to get home and look after him.
Right.
Again, yeah. They get along really, really well.
Yeah.
They are truly best friends. And you know that they spoon? All night, every night.
Wow.
Weird. But, yeah, I couldn't think of it.
Even through menopause, I cannot imagine.
Spoon. Like, they could live in a single bed.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that cute? There's no way that's ever going to happen. No. Sorry, Matt. Matt would love to be a spooner. Couldn't think of anything worse.
I think that is a real point, though. If you have a really healthy relationship with your partner, you are possibly going to be less of a burden on your children.
Yeah. And I think mum and dad would never want – and mum touched on this – I have said my dad's had some health problems. He's had a quadruple bypass surgery about 10, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and he's had a couple of minor strokes. Mm-hmm. And so it's always on my mind when I get that phone call. Mm-hmm. And I've even said to mum, if you know what time it is in Doha, don't call me in the middle of the night just to ask how to do something on Instagram, because my immediate reaction is, oh, my God, something's happened to Dad.
Right.
And every time I pick up the phone, if it's not a cheery hello from her, mm-hmm. my reaction is, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And I think Dad still sees me as his little girl. Mm-hmm. I'm his baby. And I think they went through a phase where they weren't going to tell me anything that was going on in the family.
Right.
And things have happened with my sister a few years ago and my dad's health. And in the end I said, I'm not a baby. You need to keep me out. Because then I don't feel like I'm part of the family because they're just protecting me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be protected. I want to know what's going on. And then that makes me feel like I'm not so far away.
Yeah.
So I think, I think mum and dad just really want to protect me. They still see me as this... Yeah. little girl that needs protection.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah. But at the same time, don't want to overprotect you if you need to live just down the street from us and we need to know what you're doing.
Absolutely. And mum and dad have always been with both my sister and I, you need to travel. They really wanted us to travel, especially before we settled down and got married. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing for them to go. I think because my mum got married really young.
Yes.
And she's travelled with my dad. She didn't really necessarily travel on her own, mm-hmm. Other than being an exchange student in the States. So that was really big, especially from mum, that we had to travel on our own and see the world. And mm-hmm. when I was looking back, I haven't lived in Sydney, like, for the last 15 years I've barely lived in Sydney.
Right.
So, you know, I backpacked for a year, I came back and worked, and then I went to live in London, I came back, I met Matt, and we moved to Melbourne, and now we're here.
Yes.
So I think, I've only been away 6 or 7 years, but I really have been away for 15 years with, like, little bits of being in Sydney for, you know, a year or two at a time. So maybe that made the decision for us to leave easier for us, because we weren't constantly living in each other's pockets.
Yeah.
And I've always said, had I had Sadie in Sydney, I don't think we would be here today. Having Sadie in Melbourne and being away from everyone made that decision much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought one of the other key things with you and your mum and your sister was the whole, and we've talked about it before, but just that little chat that you have.
The three-way, as mum liked to call it. Yeah, we have a WhatsApp group. And even when mum was here and she and I sitting next to each other, we're still texting with my sister back home. So, yeah, we have a WhatsApp group between the three of us. And, mum's right. If Sadie breathes differently, they know about it. And and vice versa with my sister. I mean, I see Frankie every day, little videos that no one else wants to see except for me.
I wonder, is that it, that technology can help people so much more than they realise? Yep. In that my mum has an iPad, but she doesn't have a smartphone. Mm-hmm. So we don't do the text in the WhatsApp. Yep. We do a lot of Facebook message, mm-hmm. but we don't have get her three ways with my, my sister, because my sister and I would text, but yep. not with my mum in there.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think that that's a really important thing, is that people, if you are thinking of going away or you're trying to improve the relationship in mm-hmm. some way,
yeah,
or even placate your parents so that they can feel a bit closer
yeah,
to you.
Yeah,
is get stuff like that happening. Get
absolutely.
That constant.
And I'm not a fan of talking on the phone. I don't want to do a weekly sit down and talk for an hour no. about our week. That doesn't really interest yeah. me, and I'm not very good at that. And I'm not good at the long-winded emails of
yes.
this is what we've been doing for the last couple
yeah.
of months.
Yeah.
For me, it's making a quick video of Sadie practicing her piano, or
yeah.
oh my God, I just tripped over at car four and yes. everyone saw my undies.
Yeah,
you know, they're yeah. the little things that we will text about. Oh, my sister will say, oh, you know, Frankie's got a rash, and then, or oh, maybe it's teething and stuff yeah. that just mundane everyday things that we would talk about if I was back home.
But it makes
we
you
still
feel
have
a bit closer.
Yeah, and it just makes us feel that we're all still, as yeah. Mum said, talking over the back fence. My cousin Tori, last episode or the episode before,
yeah, the terrorist episode.
And then Mum hit that home again, is come and see where they live.
Yes.
You know, because we've talked about this before, the Middle East, what's shown back home
yeah.
is not what it is here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, and I've never realised how worried Mum and Dad were, that. But now I think about it, yeah, we took a baby that was 2 months old to the other side of the world. Duh. Of yeah. course they're going to be a bit frightened. But, you know, as soon as they came here and saw it, you know, it's just normal everyday life with a few
yeah.
weird things that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we have the flip side of your mother.
Okay.
And they're relaxed and happy. They just have to live their lives. And
yeah, as Mum's always said, she's just a guest star in the movie of my life now.
Oh, so sweet. I spoke to Tracy, who's in China, and she's in remote China. She's not in Shanghai. She's
right.
in...
she's not in cosmopolitan China.
No, there's not a lot of Western lifestyle at all, where
right.
she is right now. And I really wanted to speak to Tracy because she said it has been a continual thing for her whole time away, and she's been away for, I think, about 10 years now. But and she has two young children and a husband. But I said to her, you know, how does your mum make you feel guilty, and sort of what does she do? Anyway, we had a quick chat. But I have to apologise for the sound, because she's in remote China, and we had the most beautiful Skype connection. And we got our introductions going and everything. And then right when we went to start, it dropped out and it came back terribly. Like the sound was terrible.
Right.
But I think it's just so worth listening to.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, people. I hope you can persevere. But here's a lovely Tracy talking about her mother and the guilt.
There is a level of guilt that any time I mention that, well, maybe, you know, we're about this, well, when, you know, we weren't happy here in China to begin with, so she just thought automatically we would come home to Australia. That would be it. We would come home to Australia. So and now that we've gotten used to being in China a bit, but she just lays, it's a you know, I think she always thought that I wouldn't be away for this length of time. That I think she's one of those protective mothers. Well, she's a protective mother, and she always thought that she likes to have all her chickens close by, and the fact that I haven't lived anywhere close by for such a long period of time. But she just plugs away, and she'll just make a comment every now and then. Oh, it'd be so nice to see the girl, I've got the two girls, see the girls grow up. So I just get a layer of guilt from her quite regularly. So, yeah.
So, Tracy, you met your husband in the UK. Is he English or is he Australian?
No, he's English. He's English.
So do you think your mother just expects that your husband will then emigrate to Australia and become Australian as well?
Yeah, totally, totally.
And is that the case? Does he want to do that?
He's here now. He's probably saying, I'd be happy to go, if, you know, long term, I'd be happy to go back and live in England or in Northern Europe. He would tell you, on the other hand, that he'd probably want to go and live in Australia. But he's never done a long period of time living in Australia, and he thinks I'm rude and abrupt, and I don't think he's met enough Australians to realise that that I'm pretty minor compared to some people. So you know, it's, you know, and my kids, my oldest daughter would love, she's 9 years old, and she would love, you know, my parents live on the, you can see the water from their front balcony, and they would love to go and live in Australia. But, you know, I think it's there's a level of romance for the three of them about living in Australia that I don't have anymore. So, yeah.
So do you think, Tracy, you've never all sat down and had a very honest conversation about what's going to happen? Do you all just kind of skirt around it?
Yeah. And even the four of us, it was like we were sitting on the sofa tonight. Funnily enough, the girls went to bed about an hour ago. It was probably an hour and a half ago, and just said, well, where, you know, we said, well, we're here next year, so where are we going after that? And Arabella said straight away, we're going to go to Australia. And I just went, I don't know. You know, I quite like being an expat, and I quite like being a teacher in an international school, because it's a hard job to do back in the UK or back in Australia. And it's not that it's an easy job internationally, but it's I don't have to, you know, there's a level of classroom management that I don't have to, you know, put up with. But my mum, I think my mum just thinks that at some stage we will come back and live in Australia.
And does that make you a little bit cross? Or
yeah, it does make me a little bit cross. My children are British; they're not Australian. I have never got their birth certificates or passports together or anything like that. And you know, and that's a process we have to do. And every time we do think about going back to Australia, we think about that whole process of how much paperwork we have to do as well. And it's, you know. And that gives me shivers, because my husband won't do it. I have to do it all. So it's, you know, that's another thing as well. It's, you know, I don't know. I suppose I'm just looking at using bad examples, but I'm putting roadblocks up about not going back to Australia. But I don't see anything there to go back to, except for my parents who are getting old. So.
And do you have siblings back in Australia that live close by to your parents?
Yeah. My brother does fly in, fly out at work. So he's not around very often, but his wife lives around the corner. And my younger sister and her husband have just bought a restaurant. So my mum and dad are heavily involved in the restaurant, and they're you know, they live, you know, in the next suburb. And my sister, who's close to me in age, lives in Sydney, so, you know, they're 2 hours away. So, you know, she has all the rest of the kids close by, or all the rest of her children close by. My dad never says anything about us coming back. It is purely my mum who lays the guilt on. I think dad, if we came back, dad would be happy. But it doesn't worry dad either way what we do, really. So, yeah.
Do you think when she says it, do you think that she realises how it's making you feel, or do you think that she just doesn't think about how it's making you feel at all?
I don't think she thinks about how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
So. You know, where Dale's mum will say things. She just says, "Well, you do what's right for you, your circumstances." You know, and she has none of her kids close by. Well, Dale's sister lives a 2-hour drive away, and his brother's a 5-hour drive away. But they are very much they can see what we're doing and why we're doing it, and that we're providing our children with opportunities they'd never have if we were teaching in the UK. And you know. And she gives us that feedback all the time. You just do what you think's right. Where my mum is like, oh, it'd be so nice if you came back here, or when you come back and live here. And, you know, I had boxes under the house in their house that have been there for 12 years, and they finally opened them up, and they're using the dinner set that I've been telling them for the last 8 years to use that was in the box. So, you know, they're finally gone. You know, so my dad's finally gone down and opened the box and taken out my really nice dinner set. So, you know.
How often do you get home to see her?
we're off there in 2 weeks' time. So we're actually going home for Christmas. We're going home for Christmas. We went home last Christmas as well. And that's the first time we've been in Australia for Christmas in 5 years. So, and before that, we'd gone back probably 18 months. So we generally would have got back every 18 months. Since we've been not in the UK, it was every about 18 months. But the point of before I'd, when we were living in England, I hadn't been home for 3 years. At one stage, so I had two young children. I had a baby and a toddler, so I can't afford to get on a plane and head off to Australia. So,
and what about her? How often does she make it over to you?
They will not come to China. So they've said very clearly they will not come to China. Mind you, I was talking to her last night on FaceTime, and she and my husband's doing an IB workshop in Hong Kong in February, and it's during our Chinese New Year break, and they're actually thinking about coming up to visit us in Hong Kong. When we lived in our core, they came in, they came over and spent 2 weeks with us there. So, and both time when the two girls were born in England, they came and stayed as well.
And do you think it is that she just misses you, or she misses your children? What do you think it really is that drives her?
I think it's me. It's not my kids, because she doesn't have. She's got a relationship with my children, but she doesn't have the relationship she has with her other grandchildren as what she has with my children. But I think it's me she misses, so it is me that she misses. So, yeah.
And do you think it's because, and I don't know how to say this, but is it because you're special as opposed to others?
I'm also the oldest child, so I think that always plays a role. You know, I know. I expect more from my older daughter than my younger daughter. So my younger daughter gets away with a hell of a lot more than what my oldest one does. So, and I think that's the thing. It's been the oldest child. So
yeah,
and she's got four children. It's not as if she doesn't have another three sitting in Australia. But yeah, I do feel quite guilty regularly that you know, I've missed so many things, but it's the thing you do when you're an expat.
If you could say anything without any recourse, what would you tell her?
I just think I probably would say to her, and try to be a bit diplomatic about it, but I'm not very often. I'd probably say that, you know, she must remember that we've got to live our own lives, and that, you know, at some stage we might come back to Australia, but that might not happen. And, I don't know. I'm thinking back to conversations I had when we lived in Nottingham in England, you know, in 2006, and she was hounding me then. So I don't think it's going to be ever something that she won't stop asking me. So, I remember sitting in my kitchen in Nottingham, and Arabella was a baby, and she's going, "So when are you coming back to Australia?" I'm like, "I don't know, I just had a baby, you know." I think it would never be something that she's, until we're there, she's never going to be happy, I don't think.
Isn't that sad?
Wow. Okay, so Tracy's mum is the polar opposite to good old Pippi Palmer.
Yes. Do you reckon Tracy's mum realises?
No. And I think maybe Tracy might need to either show her or listen to this episode with her, maybe when they're home together.
Yeah.
But I think she needs to have a conversation with her mum.
Mm.
Because Tracy touched on it at the beginning. She said that she wasn't entirely happy when they first moved to China, but now she is.
Yeah.
As a parent, if your child isn't happy, you're not happy.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I can understand her mum. You know, if Sadie said to me, "Mum, I'm living in China and I hate it." Well, I think my reaction would be, "Oh my God, baby, I'm coming."
would be.
See, my mum's reaction would be, give it time, make some friends. That would be my mum's reaction. I can maybe see a little bit of myself in Tracy's mum, and this is a good lesson for me to take away, because I would be, "Oh, I'm coming to save you, baby. I'm getting you out of there." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now Tracy's happy, and I think she needs to show that to her mum.
Yeah.
And I think the big thing is that she hasn't gone to China and doesn't want to go to China.
Mm.
And I can understand not wanting to go to remote China.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's not fancy where they
no.
are.
But, you know, they can meet in Hong Kong. They could go to Thailand. They could, you know, there's so many amazing places that they could meet and have a family holiday together. Maybe that's something that they need to...
But it doesn't sound like Tracy's mum wants to do that,
no,
does it? She doesn't want to do the holiday. Well, she just wants all of her chickens living around her.
Yeah, and I found it really surprising that she's missing Tracy and not the grandkids.
Yeah.
And then that made me think, is their relationship between grandparent and grandchild not as close? And then that's when technology can, you know, are they Skyping? Are they FaceTiming? Are they texting all the time? Where, because honestly, when we get off the plane in Australia, they could have seen Sadie 2 days before. There's no... But I think that's because we're constantly chatting, FaceTiming, Skyping, that their relationship has always stayed
and
strong.
I also think, says it's because you have one. Because I think the thing that happens with the kids too is I know for my mum, it involves a lot of effort to kind of keep that child focused on you, right? Because our kids will be like, hi, Granny, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you want me to get mum? And because they're busy, they've got stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I think, but also, I'm not constantly doing the same amount of effort that you do. You do great things to make sure, like your mum said, Sadie doesn't breathe without you knowing that she's changed the way she breathes, right? Whereas my kids, my mum will have to say, like, for Christmas this year, she's like, oh, well, what's their favourite chocolate? Now, even though they stay with her all over the winter and see her, she obviously hasn't remembered or thought about it or whatever. And I found myself saying, oh, well, they've all got an email address now. You know, you could email them and ask them, hey, what's your favourite chocolate? That they could answer. But I think it is hard sometimes for grandparents to keep that going. It's hard for Greg's parents too. But they're fine when they're all together. But it comes back to that use the technology. That's what I've learned from this one, is you have to set up those things and put them in play.
Yeah,
My sister-in-law's in Hong Kong. They just have the one child.
Mm-hmm.
They do a brilliant job with Skype and contacting with Greg's parents, much better than us. And little Polly will just Skype grandma and granddad on her own bat and do it.
Yeah.
Whereas my kids, because I guess there's been
there's four of them with four busy lives.
Yeah. And so we haven't had that focus. So,
and also the age.
Yes.
Sadie's still little. Yes. She still thinks that Pippi and Poppy are the absolute bee's knees. Yeah, you know, for a seven-year-old to be out in Dad's massive garden pottering along with him, well, of course a seven-year-old wants to do that.
Yeah.
Is she going to want to do that when she's 12?
Yeah.
Maybe not. So maybe it's the age.
But also your dad deserves great credit for getting out in the garden with her.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that grandparents have to realise. You know, my mum puts so much effort into my kids and I'm incredibly grateful for what she does because she really... They are so comfortable with her because she's put in the effort and she's made it happen.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes you can have grandparents that just expect children to entertain them while they're there. They're not saying, okay, well, I'm going to take this child and go and do this.
See, my dad's not the granddad that's going to sit down and play a game of Uno or Monopoly. No. It'd be, no, girl, not doing that. But we're going down to the shops and we're going to run errands and I'm going to take you to the bank to meet the bank manager. And she is more than happy and they will spend a whole entire day together running errands and that has been the greatest thing she's ever done.
So cool because that's how you get a relationship with a child.
Absolutely.
You spend time with them and do stuff.
Yeah.
Go, if maybe you're not the granddad that's going to kick a footy or do whatever. Yeah, but maybe you'll take them to the bank manager.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. and I mean, we all have those special memories of our grandparents.
Yeah, and I do hope that that's what Sadie will always remember is those days out weeding and picking flowers and meeting the bank manager at Commonwealth Bank downtown Barrel.
Now, Suze, you had an article that you found, and it was takingroute.net or takingroute.net. Because that can mean very different things.
I would call this a blog post.
Yes. Coming home, 10 helps for parents of expats. And there were a couple of things I thought was lose the guilt trips.
Yeah.
And
truly, we all feel guilty enough that we're away.
Yeah.
Don't make us feel any more guilty.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. It's true. We all feel guilty.
And I don't, and I think, back to Tracy's mum, I just don't think she realises the effect she's having.
Yeah.
I think she says it all.
and thinks, well, I'm just letting her know how much I want her to come home, and she knows how much I love her, but she doesn't realise that it's actually really hurting.
Yeah, and you know, I've just thought of this. On the flip side, so my mum doesn't want us to, like, she's almost anti-Australia when we talk about, why would you want to come home? The economy's crap. Matt won't get a good enough job. You're going to have to live in a shoebox and pay $2 million for it. Or she's almost like anti the whole thing. Yeah. And that whole of, oh, if we're sick, we won't tell her, or we won't want to. I would actually sometimes love mum. There's been some few things over the last couple of years that I've wished mum had said, I need you, come home.
Right, okay.
Because when I've said, mum, would you like me to come home? I'm going to come home. No, don't be silly. Don't waste your money. Don't be silly.
Right.
So maybe there could be a fine.
Yes.
So maybe Tracy's mum, she just really misses her.
Yeah.
And hasn't really said it the right way. She's putting the guilt on.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The other one that is so simple, but I am so crap at this, is communicate clearly before you come home.
Yep.
So many of us get all excited, talk about coming home, and in our head we've made 10 different plans with 10 different people, but we haven't really let everyone know. And I'm actually starting to wonder whether I need to have a Google Doc of what is going on for my trip, because it's like I leave this time next week. I have 2 days in before I start chemo. So in my head, I have all these plans right now. I have not shared one of those with my parents. Now, they're going to be at my house. And really what I can foresee is going to happen is I'm going to get home, get in the car and go. And they're going to go like, oh
she's gone.
She's gone. And because I've got all this stuff I want to get done before I get to chemo, obviously, because once chemo's done, you're toast. Gone.
Yeah.
And like Greg said to me, well, what do you have to do? And then when I listed to him everything I had to do, he was like, oh, yeah, shit, you've got a lot to do. But I haven't communicated with anyone.
Yes.
And I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't tell people exactly what's going on because I think, oh, well, you know, you want to be free and easy and not tied down.
So do you plan... Do you have, see, my calendar is already fully booked before I get home. But then this year I didn't do that because I was already stressed before I got home the last couple of years because every single day was accounted for.
Yes, and I hate that.
And so this time
I
was like, you know what, if they want to see me, they'll make contact with me.
Right. Oh,
and that was really interesting.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
I find that I get a little bit, and it happens too, I think, as your parents get older, they want a fixed time and date of arrival and whatever.
Yeah.
And I get a bit, because they're in the country and I'm in the city, oh, well, I might come Tuesday or I might come Wednesday, I'll just see what happens. And I know that sends them absolutely off the planet.
Yeah.
That they would like to know that I will be there at 4 o'clock on Tuesday and I will be requiring, you know, 3 different coloured vegetables for dinner.
Yeah.
And
see, Matt's parents are very much like that. They like to know what day I'm going to be there, how long I'm going to be there, who are we seeing, what, how long can they have with Sadie?
Yeah.
Whereas mum and dad are like, whatever.
And maybe there's a happy medium in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yes, my job tomorrow is to actually write down what my plans are for my first few days in Adelaide so that
and let everyone know.
Clear.
Yeah. So but I... just remember, you can play the cancer card this year. Don't forget that.
One of the other things was remember that your children actually have jobs, that I thought was an interesting one. And I guess you and I were saying we couldn't work out whether that phrase was when you're on holidays or when you were...
When they come to you.
They come here.
So it kind of works both ways, really, because some people may have to do work when they're home visiting.
And I do. So
yeah,
when I
see, I do uni
week,
and everything.
Yeah, I'll still...
Well, you still have your job, I don't have a job as such, but we have the pod. Well, that's our job as a podcast, so I still work on that when we're home and I still study.
Yep.
And people, I think, honestly, people think that I'm here getting my nails done every day. True. And that when I come home.
You've been very busy working. People need to know. Well, I think people will realise when the podcast comes back in January that you've been very, very busy working.
Yeah, and I study and everything. Yeah, so I think they then think that when I get home that it's all cocktails and manicures and I still have to study, I still have to do the podcast and everything like that.
Yeah.
And it's the same when family comes to visit. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt has a full-time job, Greg has a full-time job. They can't necessarily take the 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Because that 2 weeks they might need for when you go on an actual holiday together. And that as mums, our life still is taking kids everywhere, birthday parties, activities, sport.
And Sarah, you've just used a phrase which I think tells it all when you said they might need those days for when they go on an actual holiday.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like a holiday when you go back home and see all your friends because as much as it feels...
Nor is it a holiday when your family comes to visit you.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry, but Matt's not going to take 2 weeks off for his parents or my parents because...
Yeah.
It's Doha. It's not a holiday.
Yeah.
You know, he needs that 2 weeks to go away.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was a really interesting
So we'll put the link to that in the show notes and the website.
Beautiful. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. It was one of the women who commented it on the 4 Kids 20 Suitcases page was saying that she found the whole being away from the grandparents and family and whatever such a big thing for her that she actually created her own website, and it's called closertothekids.com, and on there you can see all sorts of tips and ideas of how to keep connected with family who's overseas.
So she's fantastic.
Got the invisible string keeps us connected, grandograms, helping grandparents stay in touch, 6 reasons to send snail mail to your long distance kids.
Now that is, everything is so technology based. Wouldn't it be lovely to get a postcard or a letter in the mail?
Yep. And so I thought that was brilliant. So we'll put a link to that as
fantastic.
Well. So, Sez, what did you have for your social media this week?
Okay, so one of my all-time favourite movies is Love Actually.
Yes,
and it's a movie that Matt and I watched Christmas Eve.
Yes, me too.
And there are heaps of deleted scenes.
Now, I tried to click on this the other day because there was something recently saying the best scenes that were deleted.
So the school that all the children go to, and you actually don't see the headmistress in the actual movie, but there's a whole storyline that they've had to delete, obviously, because otherwise the movie would go on for 6 hours.
Oh.
So the headmistress of the school, she's gay, she's a lesbian, and her partner is got a terminal illness.
Oh.
I'm guessing maybe cancer, I'm not sure, from when you see the clip.
Yeah.
And she comes home from work and she walks into their bedroom and her girlfriend or partner is in bed and they're chatting about the day. Oh. And then it then cuts to Emma Thompson at the end of year school concert. You know how one of her kids is the lobster?
Yes.
And the partner has passed away.
Oh.
And it's it really, I wish they'd been able to keep it in the movie, but obviously, the storyline would have needed a lot of.
Yeah, and that would have been one sad night. Because Emma Thompson's night night.
I know. But then, I'll put the link. I saw the article on Daily Mail.
Yeah.
My beacon of news. but then, when you go into YouTube, there's actually quite a few deleted scenes, including, you know, how the young boy who loses his mum but falls in love with the girl that sings at the concert and he rushes to tell her.
Yeah.
Well, one of the scenes is actually he does a whole gymnast routine.
Oh.
And that he's actually a gymnast in the movie, but you don't see that. And so there's a whole different airport scene of him going to get her.
Yeah.
So there's lots of clips on YouTube of it if you're a fan of the movie.
I am. I'll look that up.
And then my other suggestion is, and I think I've maybe spoken about the blog Grenglish before on our podcast.
Yes.
So she's one of my best friends, Sarah. She's an English girl we met when she was traveling Australia and then we lived together in London. And she's got a blog called Grenglish because she's married a Greek god.
Yes.
And Grenglish is the mix of both languages. She is very, very close to her mother-in-law.
Right.
And grandmother in Greek is Yaya.
Yes.
And Yaya is this amazing cook, such an amazing cook that they've actually written a recipe book, a cookbook.
Wow.
And it's now for sale on Amazon and it's called Yaya's Kitchen.
Oh.
And it's all like dips and soups and is it meze or meza? How do you pronounce it? Meza.
Yeah.
And appetizers and things like that. So this is a really good one if you're looking for some stocking stuffers or what have you.
Good.
So it's just amazing to see how a blog where that can take you, because Sarah in her blog talks about Yaya a lot, and when they go to Yaya's house, it's you know, you come out rolling because you're so full from all of her amazing food, and that has now turned into a cookbook.
And what a beautiful thing for her family just to
have. Oh, I know, and memory, and all the cookbook was filled with family photos and really, really lovely.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. All right, so mine was only just a YouTube clip that I saw that I love, and that's Carrie Fisher's interview on Good Morning Australia.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Brilliant. So Carrie,
is she a little bit off the wall?
Well, I mean, she has a history of drug abuse, and I don't know whether that's made any, but she's funny.
Is she?
So funny.
Yeah.
And she has a dog called Gary who's a bit of a fan. He has his own Twitter account, and he's huge.
Okay.
And Gary sits with his tongue half hanging out of his mouth constantly. And Gary actually falls asleep in this interview, and it's hysterical because Gary's just sitting there with his tongue hanging out, just slowly going, oh, my God, this is the most boring thing I've ever been at. But, and he's in his chair. But she is so good because she's so honest about being a woman in show business, mm-hmm. and sort of kicks off as they were saying, oh, was it tough to decide to come back and be, you know, Princess Leia? But she's not now. I think she's General Leia or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, you know, I'm a woman over 50 in Hollywood. No, it's not tough to accept a gig. Yeah. You know, they just don't come around. But then the woman who's interviewing her looks about 12 and actually admits through it that she is over 40 herself. And right. you can just see Carrie Fisher's just looking at her the whole time like, you're a freak. Yeah. Like, you are so scary. And this woman says, oh, and you've had a transformation for this movie role, which is basically her saying you've lost a shedload of weight right. to get it.
Yeah.
And Carrie was like, oh, I think this is the most boring conversation you could have with anyone about your weight.
Wow. And she good
said,
on her.
Yeah. And she said, you know, she goes, you obviously, I mean, you're a very skinny person, you're a freak of nature, you know, we can all see that already. But, you know, what do? You work out, you know? And she goes, yes, I find if I listen to music, it's better. And this woman goes, well, what song are you listening to? That's making you do. Look, she's just so funny and so refreshing.
Yeah,
and yeah.
And honest,
great.
Obviously.
And honest, so honest.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Star Wars comes out, I think it's in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oh, oh. Well, I've seen all of the newer movies, which right. are actually the beginning yes. episodes.
Yeah.
Matt is the big, I mean, he's a dork when it comes to Star yes. Wars, an absolute dork. And he's trying to get me to watch the, I never saw them as a kid. It never interests me.
I saw the ones when I was a kid.
Right.
And then we tried to watch the new ones with the kids. And, you know, this sounds terrible, but the boys, yes, watch them. But I think the girls could kind of take them on.
See, I've been watching the original ones, yeah. but you can, like, it's, I know Matt keeps on saying the technology back in the day, that was just, yeah. that was so whiz bang. But nowadays it's like, oh, you can tell that that's a man wearing a puppet's costume. I just can't get it. I feel I'm a very yeah. bad wife because he really, really loves Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to be dragged to this new one.
On the same day as Star Wars is the new Tina Fey, Amy.
Poehler.
Yes.
Oh, so mate, that's clever marketing, isn't it? Because they'll put that movie out for women like me that are so not into Star Wars.
But maybe they might send their husbands in to yes. see Star Wars.
Yeah, I could send Sadie and Matt into Star Wars and I can go and see the new Tina Fey.
Sisters looks good. Have you seen the trailer?
I haven't seen the clip,
oh,
but
it looks very fun.
They did that Baby Mama movie together, which was hilarious. Yeah,
it looks really good. So the premise of Sisters is they go back to their household where they grew up and their parents yeah. are selling the house. And mm-hmm. basically the house is empty, but they have to just empty their rooms and they have the classic teenage party, but they're older. And
oh, okay.
It looks really,
really
good.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Sarah, well, we better go. I've got to go and pick up my children from school.
Yes. I've got to supervise homework downstairs. We're in my house today.
We are. We're
standing
closet.
In my wardrobe. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
And we will be back next week for our last one before Christmas.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about how people celebrate their different holidays
yes.
in different countries.
It doesn't have to just be Christmas. Nope. It can be Ramadan, mm-hmm. Eid, mm-hmm. Diwali, mm-hmm. Hanukkah, all
Sinterklaas.
Of that.
Sinterklaas.
What's that? That's the German. Yeah. Right, yes.
It's the Dutch.
Oh, Dutch.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we'll be back next week.
Bye.
We'll see you later. Bye.